We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a really good show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be speaking with Ron Campius, who is the JTA Washington Bureau Chief. We're going to be doing This Year in Review, 57-78. Was it a good year for the Jews? We also have lots of wonderful music. We'll be talking about Yom Kippur. The portion of the week is the portion of Hazina, which is chapter 32 and following. We're probably going to talk about Yom Kippur, though. That kind of foreshadows it a bit. We have an awesome Hasidic story at the end of the show, all the way at the 11:56 part of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Saudi Arabia bought an Iron Dome system from Israel to defend itself from missile attacks by the Houthi rebels in Yemen. The Saudis agreed that the system would not be used against Israel. The Trump administration ordered the PLO house in Washington to be closed, saying that the Palestinians did not want to actively pursue peace. This move follows last month's canceling of $200 million in aid to the Palestinians. The U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill raising the level of anti-Semitism envoy to ambassador. I'm not sure what the ramifications of that are, but that seems like it'd be a big deal. Lawmakers and Jewish groups are miffed at the Trump administration's failure to name someone to the post. Czech leaders announced that they are moving that country's embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The move should be complete by November. A Swedish court of appeals overturned a deportation order against a Palestinian Arab who firebombed a synagogue, saying he'd be in danger from Israel because of his crime if sent back to the Palestinian Authority. Well, yeah. For the first time, Israeli athletes will participate in an international judo competition in the United Arab Emirates under the Israeli flag and with its national anthem played at medal ceremonies. The International Judo Federation canceled two events this year because the countries would not play Hatikvah. A red cow was born in Israel. The calf is used in the purification process, which allows people who come in contact with a dead body to be purified and thereby able to enter into the temple. There have been 9 in the annals of history. Number 10 would indicate, well, maybe we're going to have a temple really soon. Let's hope so. And finally, in an article, this is not surprising to me, but might be to you, in an article published by the Zomet Institute, Rabbi Dr. Tomer Movarach rules that anorexia patients must eat on Yom Kippur. Dr. Movarach explained that anorexic patients fall under the category of mentally ill whose life might be in danger, and saving a life takes precedence over fasting. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Mr. Ron Campius. He is the JTA Washington Bureau Chief. We're going to be talking about the year 5778 in review. How are you today, Ron?
Doing well.
Thank you for taking the time and coming on. Okay. So I'm assuming that since you're the Washington Bureau Chief that you're a news junkie and you can enlighten us. So the way we work with this is we start with big events or noteworthy events that happened in Israel in the last year. We then move to the rest of the world. We then become a little bit more focused and say, what about in the United States? And if you're up on it, I know you're in Washington, maybe you know something that happened in Detroit or Michigan area. And then at the end, we give a letter grade. Was 5778, or how good was 5778 for the Jews? So let's start. What are some of the major things that happened this past year that people should be reminded about that happened in Israel?
I think that the big story in Israel is actually also a U.S. story, the moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran deal. The big story in Israel, and I would probably tell you the same thing if I was a Jerusalem Bureau Chief or JTA, is just that the very, very close ties between the two governments. It's done the Netanyahu government a world of good. It's made Donald Trump very popular among Israelis. And, at least as far as the moving the embassy to Jerusalem goes and the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, it's got a sort of removed a long-standing burr or annoyance from the U.S.-Israel relationship, and that's a done deal, and they're not going back. So I think that really was the big story. The other things.
Let's focus just a couple of seconds on this. Okay, so the ramifications of that, positive and negative. Other countries are moving their embassies to Jerusalem. One actually moved its country from Jerusalem back to Tel Aviv. And then there was always the Palestinians promised a tremendous fallout and backlash, which I don't think we've seen, Ron.
Yeah, that didn't happen. That didn't happen for sure. There's been no Palestinian backlash. The peace process, such as it was, has been sidelined. And we keep on hearing that the team led by Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, is going to be releasing a peace plan, but nobody knows when and nobody knows what its parameters are. But that's really not much difference than what was happening before. The peace process, such as it is, has been moribund since 2014 in any case. So I think in that case, the U.S.-Israel relationship is the big story. The other story for Israel, I think, is in Syria, whether Iran gets to stay there, whether it establishes a permanent presence there. That's a big concern for Israel. And that's there's a lot more uncertainty in that because I don't think the Israelis feel that it's within the American capacity right now to demand that Iran leaves. And that's a big problem for Israel.
Yeah, if you're dealing with two terrorist states, they're just going to thumb their nose at them. Okay, what about the nation state law that was passed? There seemed to be like a big tada-dum when it happened. I haven't heard much lately, after the first week afterwards. So, want to comment on that, Ron?
Yeah, I think I don't think the law as depicted really changed a lot. I think, though, that the impression that it did, and often, they say that appearances are sometimes more important than substance, and the impression that it sidelined the Druze, and then I think some Netanyahu government mishandling of that impression has led to Israelis questioning, what their what it means to be an Israeli, what it means whether identification is rooted solely in Jewishness or whether there's something else. Because as you know, the Druze are loyal members of the military, and they're deeply involved in the running of Israel, and all of a sudden they feel sidelined, and there's a lot of hurt going around. So that was a kind of, in a sense, at least in the way it was handled, not the law itself, but the way it was handled, was kind of an own goal for the Netanyahu government.
Uh-huh. Did you see, in your opinion, it was only just your opinion, but does the, I'm discounting that, Was the nation-state law necessary?
Oh, I'm sorry, what is the nation-state law?
Was it necessary?
Oh, was it necessary? No, I don't think it was necessary. I don't think it was necessary. It was political. But on the other hand, I don't think that as it's written, it does the damage that its critic says it does. There are all kinds of other laws that that uphold a lot of the things that it was trying to advance in terms of Israel being a Jewish state. And there are also existing laws that protect and continue to protect minorities in Israel that the nation-state law never attempted to supersede. But so I don't think it was necessary, but it was kind of a feel-good law for Israelis.
Okay, understood. Our guest today is Ron Campius. He's the bureau chief of Washington for the Jewish Telegraph Agency. We use much of their stuff for our news over here at the Jewish Hour. You talked before, you mentioned about American-Israeli relations, how being improved because of the policies with the Trump. What about Jews in the diaspora and Jews in Israel? How's the relationship there? And I'll qualify the question is when Israel was first stood up, Ben-Gurion allowed concessions that the religiousness of the state was to be governed by the Orthodox. And so therefore, if you wanted to get married, it had to be Orthodox. If you wanted to convert, it had to be Orthodox. And burials were done in Orthodox. And divorces were all Orthodox. How are things developing along in that lines? We've seen things happening at the Western Wall and other places there, Ron.
I think it's still kind of fraught. It hasn't been resolved. And as you probably know, it's no longer simply a matter of a sense of alienation among Reform and conservative Jews in the States. There's all sorts of controversies over who controls conversion, even among the Orthodox, and that's set up a rift. I mean, I think that Jewish communities across the states are still tremendously tied to Israel, both in terms of affections and in terms of ideologies, but there are still a lot of unresolved tensions as to the status of non-Orthodox minorities in Israel, and it's expressing itself interestingly in some other arenas as well. I mean, what was interesting, one Israeli story we haven't talked about is the status of the 40,000 or so Africans who live in the country, and you saw, I think, wall-to-wall support in Israel for some way of ameliorating their status, which is and opposition to the government plan to simply try and deport them. So you're seeing it expressed not just in differences over religious expression in Israel. You're seeing it expressed in other areas as well.
Okay, understood. Okay, so now how is in this year as around Israel faces like the relations with the rest of the world? How are things doing, would you say, looking over back over 57, 78, things in Europe? There was no hyper-kasher massacres or anything like that that happened this year. But what were some of the newsworthy things that happened in Europe that affected the Jewish people, Ron?
Well, the big story was just the feeling of insecurity among the British Jews because of Jeremy Corbyn. The conservative government is kind of imploding because of differences over how to handle Brexit, the planned departure from the European Union, and Theresa May can't seem to handle her government. So it's like, and I think they might go to elections as early as next year in Britain. So if there was any time for Labour to return to power, it would be now. But you have a leader who's just kind of insensate when it comes to Jewish sensibilities. And they passed a version of a definition of anti-Semitism that didn't include some of the more egregious forms of Israel criticism that can cross over into anti-Semitism. It also played down certain types of Holocaust denial, and they've backtracked on that. There's attempts at reconciliation. There are talks, but I've never I lived in Britain for 3 years in the 1990s, and I followed Britain. I've got a lot of British Jewish friends. I don't think that the community has been this concerned about its future in decades.
Really? Okay. So are we starting to see like a mass emigration from England like there was from France after the hyper-kasher incident?
No, I don't think it's that. I think you're getting more conversations about whether or not a community is viable. And so further down the line, if there is, God forbid, the kind of crisis you had with Hyperkasher, you might get the kind of immigration in the thousands that you had in France. And that was once unthinkable for British Jews. I mean, they're woven into the fabric of the society there. The you know, you've had examples like the tremendous closeness between Chief Rabbi Emanuel Jacobowitz and Margaret Thatcher back in the 1980s, and there have been other examples of that with other British leaders. And that seems to have, if Corbyn becomes prime minister, I think that's, you're not going to get anything close to that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Understood there. Anything else in Central Europe, Central Asia, East Asia, India, South America, before we turn to the United States, that catches your eye?
Well, of course, yes. There's in Venezuela, there's a lot of insecurities in the Jewish community there because of the parlous nature of the society there. It's not necessarily a Jewish issue, but speaking with Venezuelan Jews, you do know that the people who support the Marxist government there tend to vent against the Jews, so that adds to the insecurity. And you have the rise of hypernationalism in Europe, and so far it's not expressing itself specifically against Jewish communities, but you know, the antenna goes up when, let's say, the Roma, known as the Gypsies in Hungary, are targeted by the government there and by people in authority there. There are 100,000 Jews in Hungary, and you get the sense that, you know, we have to be careful because, yes, Orban speaks very fondly of the Jewish community, but who knows what happens next?
Mm-hmm. So okay, so we're watching and we're hoping at that. Okay, let's turn in our focus now to the United States. Anything of consequence over here? I'm just trying to remember if the 150 so bomb scares, was that this year or was that last year already?
Oh, that was this year. Time goes by.
Wow,
it all matches together.
And
yeah,
even,
so there
that was
that.
One of the things I was thinking, what happened in Detroit this year? But they were actually the JCC and Hillel also were recipients of said bomb threats. So, and that was very surprising that the perpetrator happened to be an Israeli. I was shocked.
Yes. I beg your pardon?
I was shocked that the perpetrator was an Israeli.
Yes, that was the perpetrator was an Israeli. And I think that calmed a lot of people down because of the scares that had been, advanced by that. But I think that there's still a general concern about anti-Semitism, about open expressions of white nationalism, of white supremacy. You see it on the internet. You saw it it wasn't this Jewish year. It wasn't 57-58, but it was in Charlottesville right before Rosh Hashanah last year. And you know, they had their reunification this year, and it went very poorly for the white nationalists, but it's not exactly like it's off the menu. So you've got, in both parties, you've got, reason for Jewish concern. So among the Republicans, you get the rise of the far right in some candidacies. So here in Virginia, neighboring Washington, the Senate candidate is Corey Stewart, who has open relations with white nationalists and even with anti-Semites. And you have some spots around the United States where the Republicans didn't want to run nominees because it was a surefire ticket for the Democrats. And so you actually had neo-Nazis stepping in and getting the Republican nomination. And you have figures like Steve King of Iowa, a congressman from Iowa, who's actually quite close to President Trump, who is openly embracing certain white nationalist themes. And then among the Democrats, you have the rise of the Democratic Socialists of America, who embrace BDS, which is the movement to boycott Israel. And so that's also a big concern. And you have like in Michigan, I mean, you have in Detroit, Rashida Tlaib. I think she's going to be the first congresswoman who not only openly espouses BDS, because there are other leftists who have a sort of a more nuanced position. They don't embrace BDS, but they also reject attempts to fight against BDS are kind of in the middle there. But she's going to be the first congresswoman to openly embrace BDS. And you have, so you have that, you know, you have that phenomenon among Democrats, which is a concern to the pro-Israel community for sure.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying, you have the Republicans on the right and the Democrats on the left and the Jews in the middle. That's the way it sounds.
Yeah,
like.
Right.
So would you say the overall political tenor is improving, staying the same, or getting worse for Jews this year than Ron Campius?
That's a good question. I think that it's just in such flux, it's hard to say. You saw in New York last night in the primaries, the gutting of conservative Democrats. I think both parties are pushing off to the margins of their own, they're really, each party is really sort of more and more playing to the base. And that I think is, you know, that's going to be of concern to the Jewish community, because there's going to be things that they're definitely going to have more in common with Democrats. There's going to be things they definitely have more in common with Republicans. And if you saw how at least the pro-Israel lobby, the pro-Israel community 30 years ago played it, is that they tried to find, and they were able to find, areas where there was common ground, and then they would aggressively, and actually not just the pro-Israel lobby, Jewish domestic lobbies as well, and so they would aggressively advance those issues, and they would have bipartisan support. But that's going to be harder and harder to garner, and that's not going to be good for the Jewish community.
Yeah, I've also often referred to myself as a radical moderate as far as this
right.
goes. Yeah, indeed. Okay, our guest today again is Ron Campius. He's a JTA Washington Bureau Chief. We are talking about the year 5778 in review. Okay, we've got a new Supreme Court justice who's going through the ropes. Would you say, as far as Jews go, that Justice, or soon-to-be Justice Kavanaugh, is a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Yeah, as far as I know, I don't think that the Jewish organizations, even the liberal Jewish organizations, have weighed in too much on the Brett Kavanaugh nomination. I mean, he's what's to be expected. He's like Neil Gorsuch. He's a typical judge that one would expect from any Republican president. I mean, I think that, you know, to the degree that Trump has departed from Republican norms in a lot of other areas, like foreign policy and trade policy, he has been very, very typical in his judicial picks. And certainly, like a lot of the Jewish organizations that deal with Supreme Court justices or deal with justice policy in general, aren't thrilled with conservative justices in general. This isn't exceptional for them.
Okay, understood. What about the president's foreign policy or his policy, his trade policy? Is that affecting, I mean, there are people who just do have businesses, but overall, the tariffs, imports, exports, et cetera?
It's not affecting the Jewish community per se as a Jewish community. I'd imagine that there are, you know, people who are Jewish, people who are involved in trade who are concerned about the uncertainty that's developed because of the parlous, the difficult negotiations with Europe, with Canada, and with China. But as far as I've seen so far, in any case, it hasn't been a Jewish issue.
Okay. Now, every year, I didn't see it yet, so maybe I missed it or something. Every year, the Anti-Defamation League puts out a review over, maybe they do it in January, of incidents of anti-Semitism and perpetrated in the United States. Did you happen to catch anything? Is there more this year, less this year?
I think that there's more, and there's particularly more on campus and from both sides. I mean, you're getting the, you know, what we've come to see as a traditional problem is on some campus. It's really a fraction of the thousands of campuses you have in the United States, like maybe the 80 or 100 universities where you have leftist agitation against Israel. So you have that, but you're also seeing, swastikas appearing on Jewish buildings in campuses. So that's gone up as well. So there's concern about that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think the other big stories that happened this year were the hurricanes and down in Houston. And in Puerto Rico, I guess we could call the U.S. Virgin Islands part of the United States, the what I saw from the news stuff that I see and my friends who live in those places is the community that actually came together. And you could say that in times of need, it was a good thing. So you want to comment on that,
yes,
please?
For sure. I mean, in Houston particularly, I forget the name of the neighborhoods, but a Jewish neighborhood was particularly adversely affected. And not just like the, you know, when you say the community came together, it's not just the Jewish community, the broader community came together. So in Houston, you had this very nice story where an Israeli organization, Israel, that helps people in need, had worked with Kurdish refugees in the past, and there happens to be a Kurdish community in Houston, and they happened to live in a neighborhood that wasn't affected. So you had those people, those Kurds, those Kurdish Americans, going out to the Jewish neighborhoods and helping to evacuate people and that kind of thing. And also, the same thing happened in Santa Rosa, California, with the fires. There was the Jewish community was very badly affected there, but you had a coming together, not just of the Jewish community, but of the broader community to help people out.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so now the time. We get the drum roll going. Okay, so 5778, Ron Campius, the JTA Washington Bureau Chief. What letter grade would you give for it? Was it good for the Jews?
I think I would go with a B-. I think that, you know, you've got a robust U.S.-Israel relationship. You've got a Jewish community that is very actively involved in the United States in both parties, both political parties, and just both, also just in the broader public sector. I mean, you have like you know, more and more Israeli produced shows on TV. More, you have like Natalie Portman making movies in Hebrew, and so there's just that, you know, that sort of, in both the political and the entertainment sectors, and in all sectors, you've got this robust, unembarrassed Jewish presence, and that's always healthy. On the other hand, like we were talking about, you've got a lot of uncertainty as well with the radicalization on both sides of the political spectrum, both here and abroad. The rise of hypernationalism on the right, and the embrace of farther left solutions on the left.
Okay, understood. That's going to do it. We want to thank you so much, Ron Campius, JTA Washington Bureau Chief, for sharing your insights on the year 5778, and we wish you a wonderful, a happy, and a healthy 5779.
Thank you. Shana Tova.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I probably would have given it a little better grade. I was thinking A- myself. I wasn't going to argue with him, but maybe he knows more than I do. Up next, for your listening pleasure, it is Yom Kippur is coming up Tuesday night. Tomorrow night is Kaparis. And if you want to find out about Kaparis, you can drop me a line and I'll explain it. We're not going to do that here right now. This is Menachem Weinstein. The song is called The Final Prayer, and it's about the conclusion of Yom Kippur.
I pray to you like I never prayed before. I take this moment to beseech your heart. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Can you feel me knocking at your door? 'Cause I just need to know what's on your mind. Is it me? Oh, is it my life? And I just need to know what's on your mind. Is it me? Oh, is it my life? And I pray tonight, I pray tonight, yeah. Human angel dressed in white, I pray you white.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Eric Shulton, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is God Elbaz. This is a no stranger to the Jewish Hour. Came out with a new CD. One of the songs is called Ochicharna, which is, I'm not really sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That's a Hungarian song, which Ochicharna means old blue eyes or little blue eyes. Ochicharna, anyway, I'll spare you my rendition. But this is his rendition. It's kind of like a makeover of the entire song. And it was actually filmed in the city of Kiev. So if you want to go take a YouTube and take a look at this. And this is God Elbaz.
Years looking over my shoulder, getting colder and colder, how to live, when to go. Voices grow louder and louder, sounding bolder and bolder as the drama unfolds. Oh, those dark eyes mesmerizing in their touching plea, speaking to us silently, reaching to the sky. Just
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is a song by Mutti Illowitz. The song is called Beryl, which Beryl's a person's name. It is a very cute song. First of all, I like the music. The musical arrangement is done in more of that oriental style, the Central Asian style of music, which is really cool. But it's sung in Yiddish, which is so you have the paradox going on over there. It's a ballad. It's about, of all things, a man is going shopping with his son. And they get to the checkout counter. And as you know, at all checkout counters, what do they have? They have candy. And the kid says to his father, "Can we buy candy?" And the father, as most fathers say, "No, we can't have candy." And the kid right there in the middle of the store falls down on the floor, kicking and screaming to such an extent that the whole entire store is gathered around watching this kid screaming. Okay, you don't hear any of the screaming on the soundtrack. It's all acted out. So the father looks at the kid and says, "Beryl, be quiet." And with that, the kid sits up, stops, and walks out of the store very quietly holding his father's hand. So somebody comes up to him and says, "That's amazing. How did you get your kid to be so quiet like that?" And he said, "You have to understand, my son's name is Chaim. My name is Beryl." That's the story. Let's listen in.
Thank you. ערב וזנה גיטר מנה זוג דם ואביך חובה פלניך וייסה ערב שבס אין די הוסנך עזוי פלבוס צידין ארוס אלפון דירך גיא איך ול גיא אין גרסרי אין איך ול אוכת מתנמן אין זר פינב ירק זין Minore setz sich heran in Kar, heibt sich unter Pan in Zart, das Kind schreit, ich will nicht gehen, nur heute Mami kommt. Setz sich herup, stellt sich auf, de Fenster herauf, ich darf sie essen, sind nur Musik, dadurch aus dem ganzen Weg erbrimmt. Der Tate tut die Lippen kaien, der Tate will sich nehmen, schreien, man taie Kind, wo's gäste ja sa eber Kerl. Zum Kind, der geht sich a drei Jahre im Stillerheit, geht er aber im. Ich bete dich, halt dich ruhig, Bärl. Endlich im Geschäft, man steht, Erev Schabbos übergedreht, Schäfele, Chapp und Mannhand, du sollst dich nicht verlieren. Das Jingle, aber wie a Kegen, er nimmt sich laufend, zieht den Wegen, er tat die Lomme, nehmen auf oben, und ich will es viel. Noch einer der Tate ein Wort ergibt, das Kind auf Wogen, er stirbt und schleppt, setzt daran in keinem, jeder schreit, kick wie der Geist. Seiben und fliehen Sachen, säcklich trasten, fläschlich krachen, in der Tate kein Kaum warten, sie werden ausgeleist. Der Tate die den Lippen kaien, der Tate will sich nehmen, schreien, man teile Kind, was machst du nicht das Leben, also schwerl? Zum Kinder geht sich a drei Jahre im Stillerheit, geht er aber immer. Ich bete dich, halt dich ruhig, Bärl. Hat man halt plötzlich euch geagen, weil das Kind immer merkt, die Abteilung von dem am Tag hin. Mit Keulen geht der Ascherei, man darf noch kaufen Ascherei, der Tate probiert ihn beruhigen mit dem Wurm Racken. Das Kind wacht sich auf der Rede, das Geschäft wird übergekehrt, da füllt der Balbus allein, kommt dahin zu laufen.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Parish Schulfeman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Hazino, which is part of the chapter 32 of the Bible. It is a very intense poem, one of 10 songs in the Bible. It's a Bible top 10 songs, and it discusses the future of the Jewish people, pleading with them, cajoling with them, promising them. And I suggest that you read it with a very good commentary like Rashi's, a very simple commentary, but the Rashi's are very long because it is a very deep poem. We're not going to talk about that, though. Because Tuesday night is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year, as it's called. It's called the Shabbos of Shabboses. And, of course, we know that people are supposed to fast and refrain from eating and drinking and wearing leather shoes and even bathing and putting on perfume and engaging in marital relations. All those things are forbidden because what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to focus on higher things. Let's talk about what's the difference between Tisha B'Av, which is a 25-hour fast,
and Yom Kippur, which is a 25-hour fast. Those are the two 25-hour fasts on the Jewish calendar. Big difference. And it's an attitudinal difference. Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, one is not allowed to eat. We're mourning the destruction of the temple. On Yom Kippur, one doesn't need to eat. As the song earlier from Menachem Weinstein's final prayer is, we are like angels. Angels don't eat. Angels just do what they have to do and what they've been programmed to do. So on Yom Kippur, we don't need to bother with such mundane things as food. That actually, if I had to eat on Yom Kippur, it would just like say, oh, it would just get in the way, to tell you the truth. So it's a very interesting thing. I've been fasting Yom Kippur. This will be my 42nd Yom Kippur that I'm fasting. And looking back, I don't ever remember saying, you know what? I'm hungry, ever on Yom Kippur. There were times when I would say, I'm tired. Yes, because even if I were eating, and to spend the day and what we have to do on Yom Kippur is very tiring. But as soon as I get through, I eat. I have a custom that I put my sukkah up immediately. Wednesday night, I will be putting up my sukkah. And for those who are interested, Jewish Ferndale, we have a sukkah raising on Thursday. And that'll be Thursday night at 6 o'clock at Jewish Ferndale, 1725. And you can come help put up the sukkah. That would be greatly appreciated. The more people we have helping, the less time it'll take. And we'll supply the refreshments, of course. We might even make a l'chaim in the sukkah. We'll see what we're up to. All these things are all a good possibility as we get ready for the upcoming holiday of Sukkot, which we'll talk about next week, which our show will be the pre-Sukkot show. So what is it? Where is our focus supposed to be on Yom Kippur? We have the prayer called the Al Chet for the sin that I did this, and there's 100 different sins that are mentioned, and we bang on our chest. We don't bang, we tap our chest 100 times, 10 times during the day. That's a lot of tapping. And asking the Almighty to forgive us. And like the song I said before, is when we get to the final, the finality of it, the end, as the sun has set on Wednesday night, we know that the Almighty has forgiven us, and we're starting the year fresh. It's like, this is where the expression clean slate comes in. Everything that happened till now, it's been erased. How is that possible? Because, listen, I went to the shul last year, and the year before, and 41 years before that, and every year, we're tapping our chest for the same reason, for the sin I did this, and for the sin I did that. But Yom Kippur is such a day, it says, what makes it so great is because the highest expression of divine mercy is present. And this divine mercy, sort of like it fills in the gap. God says, yeah, okay, I understand, I got you. You're good. Even a person who doesn't keep Yom Kippur. I'm not saying you did not hear Rabbi Finman say you don't have to keep Yom Kippur. I'm saying even a person who eats on Yom Kippur, they're also forgiven. That's what a great day it is. Now, just to end off really quickly, though, it's a day between you and God, specifically. If a person messed up between him and a friend, him and some business associate, him and somebody else, and there's bad blood between them, that has to be corrected before Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it's only just between you and God, and is expression of the highest levels of godliness. Speaking of the highest levels of godliness, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. It's the easiest way to get in touch with me. It's all electronic, of course. This is nothing new. I've had a website since 2001. So it's been there. I wish all the radio shows were up there from 2001, but no, it's just not enough space to do that. That would be really cool if I could go back 23 years and just say, you know, I want to listen to that show and see what that was, what was going on. It'd be really also cool to see how my voice has changed in the last 23 years. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show, speaking of which, and you'll find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which we try to make Judaism interesting, exciting, and fun. And it's all right there, available 24/7. If you're Jewish, it's 24/6. We also have the donations page. We are 3 months behind. We did manage to pay off June, but we got July, August, September now that we are dealing with. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. It's uncomfortable for the station. They know that I'm 90 days behind, and it's a tough situation to be in. But I am not losing sleep over it, because I know people like you have supported us for 23 years by going to rabbifinman.com and going to the donations page and making a donation for wherever it is. And it's all safe, secure by PayPal. And through PayPal, you can make it a monthly thing. You don't even, so that this way you can give, you know, what you can afford according to your budget. And we have, thank God, we have a whole subscription of people who are doing that. And it works for them. It works for us. Go to rabbifinman.com. Donate today before Yom Kippur. Get on the Almighty's good side, you might say. The story involves a custom known as kaparos, or if you're Israeli, kaparot. The custom mandates that a person hold a live chicken, say a prescription, which is printed in the Yom Kippur prayer books, and then to circle the chicken around one's head while saying, this should be my exchange and my atonement, and that this chicken should go into soup and I should get a good year. Basically, that's the deal. So there is a story. A man once came to the Mezritcher Magid, the successor to the Baal Shem Tov, and said he would like to observe how the Rebbe does kaparis. And he said, my kaparis is no big deal. I hold the chicken, I say it, the slaughterer slaughters it, and I go home. Finished. He says, if you want to see a kaparis, go to this and this inn and this city. There you'll see a ritual. It's okay. He picks himself up. He goes to this place. An inn was a euphemism in all these stories for really what it amounted to, a bar. There were sleeping accommodations, but for the most part, these people made their livelihood by selling alcohol to the peasants. So he walks in, he sits down, the innkeeper comes in and says, what can I get you? He says, if you don't mind, I just want to sit. The guy looks at him and says, no, sit. Doesn't cost to sit. So gets to like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he throws the last guy out. Go home. You got to work tomorrow. Sweeps out the place. And then he sits down and he calls to his wife. I don't know. He didn't do it himself, but this is the way the story goes. He says, wife, which that in Yiddish actually is a term of endearment. It's not like, you know, they refer to each other in Yiddish. The proper way is like to call each other wife and man. That's how he'll call him vibe and she'll say mon. So that's the way it's done in Yiddish. He says, wife, bring me the book from the left drawer. Okay, so he says, she brings the book from the left drawer, and he opens it up. Yud Aleph Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur. I fell down and I hurt my knee. Yud Beis Tishrei, my daughter died. Yud Gimel Tishrei, this happened, that happened. All the terrible things that happened to him. He kept a diary, a log of all of the things that terrible things that happened. And by the time he got done with it, he was so broken, he was crying. Then he said, he composed himself, wife, bring me the book from the right book. So bring the right, he says, on this day, I did this sin. On this day, I did that sin. On this day, he had it all written down. By the time he got done with the book, he was crying again. And he said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, didn't we make up an agreement last year that you would take good care of me and I would take good care of you. Look at the year it's been. So he said, you know what? I'll make you a deal. I'll forget about your book if you forget about my book. So he took the two books, tied them together, said, this should be my atonement, my exchange, and he threw the two books into the fire. And hopefully he had a happy and a healthy year, a good year. So we're going to wish you that. Also, we're going to back out now and wish you an easy fast, and a Gmar Chatima Tovu should be written, should be inscribed in the Book of Life. Should have a great week after that, and we'll see you back again next week. Take care.